In March 2017, the US Senate Select Committee on Intelligence invited me to testify in the first open expert hearing on Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Committee staffers from both parties wanted me to help present to the American public the available forensic evidence that implicated Russia, evidence that at the time was still hotly contested among the wider public, and that, of course, the Russian government denied, as did the President of the United States. The situation was unprecedented. The other two witnesses were Keith Alexander, former head of the National Security Agency, and Kevin Mandia, CEO of FireEye, a leading information security firm. Just before the hearing began, a staffer brought us from the green room to the witness table. Everybody else was seated already. As we walked in, I looked at the row of senators in front of us. Most of the committee members were present. Their faces looked familiar. The room was crowded. Press photographers, lying on the floor with cameras slung around their necks, were soon ushered out. I envied them for a moment. The senators sat behind a giant, semicircular, heavy wooden table that seemed to encroach on the witnesses. Early on in the hearing, soon after our opening statements, Senator Mark Warner, Democrat, Virginia, asked if we had any doubt that Russian agents had perpetrated the hack of the Democratic National Committee and the disinformation operation that took place during the campaign. He wanted a short answer. I considered my response as Mandia and Alexander spoke. The digital forensic evidence that I had seen was strong. A range of artifacts, not unlike fingerprints, bullet casings, and license plates of getaway cars at a crime scene, clearly pointed to Russian military intelligence. But, despite the evidence, the offense seemed abstract, hypothetical, unreal. Then I thought of a conversation I'd had just 2 days earlier with an old Soviet bloc intelligence officer and disinformation engineer. On the way to the Senate hearing in Washington, I had stopped in Boston. It was biting cold. I drove out to Rockport, a small town at the tip of Cape Ann, surrounded on three sides by the Atlantic Ocean. Ladislav Bittman had agreed to meet me at his studio there. Bittman, who died a year and a half later, was perhaps the single most important Soviet bloc defector to ever testify and write about the intelligence discipline of disinformation. A former head of the KGB's mighty disinformation unit once praised Bittman's 1972 book, The Deception Game, as one of the two best books on the subject. Bittman had defected in 1968, before an experimental prototype of the internet was even invented, and 7 years before I was born. We spoke the entire afternoon in a calm, wood-paneled room. Bittman was bald, his face wizened with youthful eyes. He listened carefully, paused to think, and spoke with deliberation. Indeed, Bittman's memory and his attention to detail were intimidating, and he would not answer my questions if he didn't know how. I was impressed. Bittman explained how entire bureaucracies were created in the Eastern Bloc in the 1960s for the purpose of bending the facts, and how these projects were proposed, authorized, and evaluated. He outlined how he learned to mix accurate details with forged ones, that for disinformation to be successful, it must at least partially respond to reality, or at least accepted views. He explained how leaking stolen documents had been a standard procedure in disinformation activities for more than half a century. He estimated that individual disinformation operations during the Cold War numbered more than 10,000, and he brought the examples to life with stories of a make-believe German neo-fascist group with an oak leaf logo, of forged Nazi documents hidden in a forest lake in Bohemia, of US nuclear war plans leaked again and again all over Europe, of a Soviet master forger flustered in a strip club in Prague. This careful and thoughtful old man taught me more about the subject of my forthcoming testimony than any technical intelligence report I had read or any digital forensic connections I could make. He made it real.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.